Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports from NOAA down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we had an interesting talk with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Mike Best about fall fishing and lots more. All this coming up right after these messages.
Big news, Hayward Power Sports is your new shore station dock system dealer. Some homes have curb appeal, but does your lake home or cabin have shore appeal? Since 1959, Shore Station has crafted docks designed to be your summer fun center. They're constructed with high-quality aluminum and a durable powder coat color finish on their gorgeous harbor gray planking and slate gray sideboards. What's more, their modular design allows for endless configurations. Our Hayward Power Sports team can even pair your dock with an industry-favorite vertical boat lift from Lakeside Products. Yes, the Shore Station engineers kept it simple with accessories that mount quickly and easily without tools. Sections lock together with a simple spring-loaded pin mechanism, and leg height can be adjusted without tools. Plus, the quick-as-a-click dock accessories range from ladders and bumpers to gear towers, benches, seats, and more. Not only do Shore Station docks look great, their A-frame stance provides superior level of stability and safety. Check out your new Shore Station dealer, Hayward Power Sports, today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Hi, this is Ann the Tool Girl from M&M Rental. Here at M&M Rental, we have it all for you do-it-yourselfers and contractors. Concrete tools, metal brakes, man lifts, log splitters, skid steers, and everything you'll need for excavating and trenching, plus much more. And for fun on the water, we have jet skis, ski boats, pontoon boats, fishing boats, kayaks too. From lawn care equipment to tools and sporty goods, we have it all and we deliver. Give us a call at 634-3146. M&M Rental, located on Highway B, Hayward.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. I'm talking to Noah down here, and Noah, you know, the temperatures seem to be cooling a little bit, and especially, we talked about that last week in the lake, but they're definitely cooling down. I'm seeing like 71 degrees on a lot of lakes.
Yep, I'm seeing low 70s. I even saw a high 60 the other day. The temperatures are definitely starting to drop, some of these cooler nights and some of these even cooler days to begin with.
Let's talk a little bit about the fishing, walleye fishing. What have you been hearing there as far as reports down here at the shop?
People are still struggling a little bit as we're coming off the end of the bug hatches. I think those fish are starting to run out of bait. I caught some on plastic the other week, but I'm thinking that the bite's going to be getting real good here soon.
How about panfish? What's going on there?
Panfish are going to be stacked up, suspended above most of your weed lines, is what I've been seeing, or stacked up, suspended above the fish cribs.
Any particular bait seem to be working better? Because I've had some people tell me they catch them on minnows, but I've had a lot of people tell me that they won't touch a minnow for some reason.
It's hit or miss. You're either getting them on minnows or you're getting them on plastics. It's not one or the other. It's one or the other, not both.
You know, Gulp Alive seems to be work when nothing else does for me anyhow.
Yeah, those scented baits really do seem to work because you can work them just perfect and have that scent and have that taste that makes them hold on.
You know, and when they're out there in that deeper water, the electronics is real key to in finding them. I know that I run just about everything on my boat as far as electronics, because I've got everything on there with side imaging. And you can actually find them on that deep water a lot easier with that electronics. And I think one of the mistakes I see people make when they find them out there is they'll sit there and they'll fish 5 feet down over 25 feet of water, 20 feet of water, with a crappie jig, you know, crappie minnow on a bobber sitting out there. And a lot of the more active and bigger fish seem to be down closer to the bottom for me.
Yep, those bigger fish will sit on the bottom end of that school and look up. They feed up. So you got to get your bait past all the little ones that are above them, and then you'll start catching some of those bigger fish.
Let's talk a little bit about the muskie fishing. What are you hearing there?
It's been slower than most years, but recently we had quite a few people come in and say they've lifted some fish on glide baits, lifted some fish on bucktails. But I think the bite's going to be getting good, but yep, it has been a little bit slower this year.
In bass fishing, let's talk about smallmouth bass first. You know, any reports there?
Smallmouth bass are still going to be doing that same thing, moving up on the shallow rocks in the evening, and in the middle of the day, you can find them on some of those weed lines or on those rock bars. Depending on the body of water you're on, you can still catch them on drop shots, fake leeches, Ned rigs, fake crawfish imitation. And as the water temperatures start to get cooler, you might be able to start throwing some moving baits like jerk baits, crank baits, and swim baits to get those fish to react.
You know, you mentioned drop shots, and we talked about this a couple times on the show, but the drop shot rig, it's not just a bass thing. It catches everything. You can rig up drop shot for panfish, crappies. You can do it for walleyes. It just really seems to be effective.
Yep, that's one thing a lot of panfish fishermen do not realize is they can drop shot these smaller baits and rig up one or two plastics on it and fish that deeper water and really effectively fish these fish, let that bait shoot past all the small ones and then catch the big ones on the bottom.
What do you see as far as mistakes people make trying to rig up for drop shotting?
They need to know the proper knots and how to run your line through your eyelet so then when the weight is sitting on the bottom and you pull tension, your hook is pointed up. You got to make sure your hook is pointed up because if you just tie a straight knot and then have the weight hang down, you got to stick your line back through the eyelet so that when you pull that line tight, your hook faces up.
As far as rigging up with weights and sinkers and stuff, what do you say there?
If you're fishing vegetation, some of the cylinder weights seem to run through vegetation better. But if you're fishing that harder bottom like rock and sand, those teardrop or those ball sinkers seem to work better in those situations, less snags.
You know, and a big thing I see with people fishing a drop shot rig is they fish it too fast. Either they throw it too far, you don't want to make really long casts with it, and they fish it too fast. The purpose of it is to, number one, keep the bait up off the bottom, and number two, keep it stationary in front of the fish.
Oh yeah, when you get that bait out there and you know there's fish in the area, you work that bait real slow and you drag it real slow, even maybe just let it sit there, because those fish will be swimming around it and they'll see it, but they might take 30, 45 seconds before they decide to come take a look at it. When they come over, they'll pick it up.
Yeah, and smallmouth fishing is going to get better here, and a lot of the deeper water humps and rock humps here as we get into September more here.
That is for sure. When the water temperatures start to drop and they start chasing that bait around and the amount of bait in the water gets reduced, you can really find these fish running around a lot more and you can get on a good bite.
Usually some nice walleyes mixed in too. And as we wrap up here on the show, largemouth bass, how's the action been there?
It's been better, but they're still in the weeds. They're getting real tucked into the weeds in some lakes. So you got to fish the heavy vegetation with some of those weedless rigs. Big worms seem to work good right now, and some of them weedless jigs seem to work well as well.
And as far as everything else, you guys got a full line of everything they need for fall fishing here in the shop. I know that, from muskies to panfish. And you also geared up for the hunting seasons, because the bow hunting season is fast coming on us now.
Yep, we just got a bunch of crossbows in and a whole bunch of ammo, so we're stocked up and ready for you guys to come get whatever you need.
Well, thanks a lot, Noah, for talking to us.
Always a good time.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we got a very interesting talk with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Mike Best. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward Area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports actually has Lund fishing boats in stock and available for sale. I know, in today's world, it's unheard of, but we have a limited number of 2022 Lunds, all rigged and ready for the water with Mercury outboards. From the 1650 Rebel to the 1875 Pro V Bass, they'll all go fast. Built by fishermen for fishermen, Lunds feature boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage, and no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on our 50-50 cash raffle. You could walk away with a pile of cash. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily, including Sundays, through October 31st at 9:30 a.m.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Folks, you know, one of the guides that I do get on here once in a while is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Mike Best. I had a chance to talk to Mike the other day on the phone about fall fishing and a lot more.
Mike, you know, this summer's been a different summer this year, and we're finally through the summer, and it looks like we're into fall transition. Things are really starting to cool down now.
Yeah, it's been a different summer. We didn't get the really warm weather this year to bring the water temperature up into the 80s. I think the warmest I've ever seen on the big lakes, you know, like Round and the Couderay, Grindstone was in, you know, the high 70s, never seen any 80-degree water temps.
But what we did have, though, is, a lot of weather fronts moving through, and it seemed to trigger a lot of bug hatches, and there were minnows out there, a lot of food in the lakes this year.
Yeah, that's for sure. It definitely, what I noticed is you had these window bites where, you know, early in the morning for an hour or two, and then same thing coming on dark. It was hard to get fish, you know, in the middle of the day.
I know muskie fishing in particular, I've had not had good reports all across the muskie range. I mean, the guys are saying they're just not catching what they expect to catch.
Yeah, I would agree. I had talked to a couple guides that fished north over by Lake Nemecogon, and they had a really good July. They were having one of the best Julys they've had as far as getting numbers of fish and big fish on Nemecogon. But before that, early spring, you know, and even now, like the last couple weeks, it's been dead out there. But they did, you know, in the middle of the month, there was a decent bite for muskies on Nemecogon. That's the only good report I really heard.
You know, let's talk about the fall and fall transition. We're probably in the end of the transition right now. Water temperatures are dropped down into low 70s, and I've even heard of below the 70 a couple instances, but the water temperatures are dropping. They're going to continue to drop from here on out, and that really starts to change things out there on our lakes.
It does. One of the things, I mean, if I were to give anybody some advice, when I start fishing in September and October, it can be deceiving because you'll fish and you just can't even find fish on your graph, and it's frustrating. But what it seems like is the fish are all schooled up. So when you do find them, it's lights out and you can catch lots of fish, big fish, and they seem to be all schooled up together and they're feeding. But the problem with that is if you've got a school, just for example, say you got a school of crappies and walleyes, and there's a couple thousand fish in that school, well, what happens is the rest of the lake doesn't have any fish in it. So, you know, they always say that, you know, if you got a body of water, 10% of the water's got the fish. Well, I even think it's less than that in the fall. But when you do find them, if you put the time in or if you've got good electronics and you do find that school, you usually will typically get a good day and be very successful.
Well, you know, usually around the first part of September, too, this time, we'll see a brief, it's not very long, but a lot of the forage and everything moves up real shallow, and then it starts to progress and go back deep. And when it moves up that shallow, a lot of the predator fish and the other fish follow them up in the shallows.
Right, yep, and that makes them a little bit trickier to catch, too, because you're out looking, you know, in deeper water, and a lot of times they're in, you know, 1 or 2 feet of water, which is basically almost impossible to see them with your electronics. And then everything kind of transitions here over to a minnow bite now. We can start using jigs and minnows again, and even the crappies, it seems like all summer long, in the spring, the plastics work great, but, you know, they like to go to more of a live bait presentation as the fall progresses.
Yeah, it just seems like for whatever reason, you know, of course, leeches are out of season, but crawlers will work any time of the year, but they actually really prefer the minnows once we start getting the cooler, and actually a little bit bigger minnows for the most part.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
You know, I think a lot of the food that they're eating out there has progressed in size, too, so you've got bigger food out there. You know, let's talk about presentations for fall fish once we get in the fall. Start with walleyes. Walleyes, I know, will actually move deeper after this brief short period where they're shallower, but once they move deeper, what do you recommend for people trying out there to catch walleyes?
Well, what I usually, after I have a lot of guide trips, I don't book a lot of trips in the summer just because I'm so busy with my resort and everything else. But I always, that week after Labor Day, I pretty much am out every single day during the week guiding. And I always start that week jigs and minnows, 1/8 ounce jigs, and I'll start fishing anywhere from 20 to whatever the thermal climb is. And right now we're seeing the thermal climb at almost pushing 30 feet. So you'll fish, you know, not, you don't have to fish anything deeper than 30 feet. And so just 1/8 ounce jigs, 1/4 ounce jigs. And then also I always have a jig and wrap set up. And I will throw those jig and wraps, and I'll throw jigs and minnows for walleyes, you know, all the way until freeze up.
Well, actually, the snap jigging approach really works pretty good once that water starts to cool. But I think a mistake people make is that when we started doing it in September and stuff, you can fish a lot quicker and a lot faster. But as you start progressing cooler water, you really need to slow down. And a lot of people, you know, not rip it quite as hard. A lot of people just tend to keep on ripping it too hard, I think, and whether it's plastics or a jig and wrap type bait. And as you get cooler water, you really need to slow that thing down a little bit.
Yeah, and even with jigs and minnows, if I've got three guys in the boat, I have one guy casting and dragging it real slow, one guy fishing straight down with a vertical presentation, and then I'll do a more of like a snap jig until we figure out how the fish want it, and then we'll pretty much all switch over to whatever technique seems to be catching the most fish.
You know, and the electronics is key there again, too. And I know you run that Garmin LiveScope. I've got it on my boat, too. I've got the newest version of LiveScope Plus. That's really a benefit to catching fish, too, because you can actually really pin them down once you got them and actually put the bait right in front of the fish.
Yeah, it's a game changer once you find the school of fish and you can throw right at them. That a lot of back in the day, we'd find a school of fish, we'd catch 4 or 5, and then we couldn't catch them and take us another half hour, you know, to find where that school moved. You have to move the boat around. Now it's like you take that live scope and scan it around. You're like, oh, hey, the school moved over here 25 yards. And you just reposition and you keep beating on them until they're all gone. You know, that's the thing with that live scope. It's a great tool, but it's almost too good of a tool at times.
Well, yeah, and then the other hand, too, is that it doesn't do anything different than side imaging and down imaging. You can find the fish. The guys are really good with electronics. We're finding the fish with the side imaging and kind of pinning them down and casting for them, and now you just got the option of watching them swim around with the live sonar. So, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that, but the thing that the live sonar does is you can study the behavior of the fish, of how it reacts to the bait you throw down. You know, I've been crappie fishing. There's a school of crappies there, and I throw a jig at it, and they don't move. You keep throwing things, and all of a sudden you'll see a reaction of how, you know, one will move in the school. And you can adjust and change your baits based on how they act. The other thing is you can throw a bait at them, and the school just scatters whatever you're using. You just scared them away. Well, you know, to take that bait and throw it in the bottom of the boat for the day because, you know, it's just scaring the fish away. You can't see that with the sign imaging on how the fish reacts, where the panoptics and live scope you can.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's actually a fact there, too. But, you know, on the other hand, it's just, you know, at what point do we say we shouldn't use this gear or that gear? I think regulations and having good regulations and then actually making, you know, sure that the people are aware of, you know what, this is not an inexhaustible resource. We should think about what we keep and, you know, that's the way to go. I don't know if you really... You know, there's been guys complain about different kinds of sonar, including live sonar, and think that. But, you know, at what point do we start going back to a cane pole, you know?
Right, yeah. And that's never going to happen. It's just, you know, they've brought the limits down, which is good. There's just more people. I see more people catching fish than there was before just because they got better equipment and better technology.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Mike Best. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County Cay between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales, and they have live bait, tackle, and fishing licenses too. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Mike Best.
Let's talk about the other fishing out there. In the pan fishing, that actually gets pretty good in the fall, too. And the crappies seem to be more bunched up than they are spread around once they get going here.
Yeah, and that's like what I was saying earlier in the fall. You know, fish start to school up smallmouth. I mean, I live on Round Lake, and when those smallmouth school up, I mean, you could drop that live scope or camera down, and on one single crib, you can see 50 smallmouth sitting there. And any other time of the year, you drop a camera down, and there's one or two sitting on it. So you got to fish, you know, 25 cribs to catch a fair amount of fish, where in the fall, you can pull up to one crib, and you can catch, you know, 25 fish in a half hour in one spot. And that's pretty typical of all the species, walleyes and crappies. They all seem to congregate together come fall, and when you find them, you can catch them.
You know, you were mentioning smallmouth, and I know that's one of your favorite fish to go after, and I really enjoy those and muskies. And, you know, smallmouth bass fishing, if you're looking for that really big trophy fish, getting between now and freeze-up is one of your best opportunities to catch that big one.
Oh, absolutely. It's... I mean, on Round Lake, and I'll fish Grindstone too, Le Coudre, between now, I'll catch more 5-pound smallmouth between now and freeze up than I will from May till now, you know. And, you know, everyone says they get a 5-pound smallmouth, but the reality is it's pretty hard to get a 5-pound bass anywhere. You know, just for example, our bass club, you know, we got, you know, you fished in the Hayward Area Bass Club on that, yep, Wednesdays. We never had a 5-pounder caught the entire season this year. You know, and that's, you know, I think we had 7 lakes. That's 14 weeks, and, you know, almost pushing 50 boats out there every Wednesday. and very good fishermen. So, I mean, but then come fall, you know, it's like they're everywhere. You catch them. So you're exactly right. This is the time of the year to try and get a big fish.
Well, yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, the fish are getting smarter, too, with all the pressure put on them. So, you know, a lot of it, we lose some fish, catch and release and all that, but I think that no matter how we go with technology and knowledge on them, I think the fish are starting to get smarter, too, actually.
Oh, yeah, for sure, you know. And one example of that is when I first moved on Round Lake, I had a particular bait that I used, and any place I went, I could catch smallmouth on that thing. And it didn't matter when or where, they just loved that thing. And then after about a year, that bait, and even if I went out today with it, I don't even use it anymore, they won't bite it. So fish definitely get smarter, and they evolve, you know, with respect to baits and stuff like that.
I've had that same instance with muskies. I mean, one particular bait that was really hot, you know, 30 years ago, nowadays, I can't hardly buy a fish on it. They just don't look at it. Now, how these fish that are running around today, the smaller fish even, that weren't even hatched by then, you know, seem to know not to bite on that bait. It's kind of a puzzling thing to me, but it just seems to work that way.
Yeah, and it's what's weird, too, though, what I've seen is them old baits, that you pull them out of the box, sometimes they do work after a while, you know. It's like, because nobody's, you know, when a hot bait's out there, everybody's throwing it. I mean, remember when Bruce Shumway came out with that funky chicken? I mean, every single person had 10 of those in their box throwing them, and he was just catching huge muskies on that bait. And now, I mean, it's still a great bait, but it's not like it was when it was first created.
Yeah, same thing with baits like the hog wobbler. You know, talking about you know, smallmouth bass, what's your favorite presentation for fall smallmouth?
Well, I do, you know, I'm a guide, so my job is to catch people fish, and, you know, a lot of people in the bass industry aren't fond of people using live bait, but the reality is if you want to catch numbers of fish and big fish, the best thing to use is a chub or a sucker minnow, just on a bare hook with a weight. If I'll usually have a couple clients that will pull live bait, and then I'll have a couple clients or myself, I'll throw flukes, a Z-Man white flukes or like a shad looking fluke, and jig those, and that seems to be the best. And even the Ned rigs are really good too. Anything with the Ned rig, the bigger style heads that stick straight up on the bottom work good.
You know, and, you know, when it comes to minnows, I find my personal choice is I actually sometimes go for northern pike-sized minnows rather than the walleye-sized suckers because, you know, I'm looking for big fish, and a big smallmouth doesn't hesitate to hit a 5- and 6-inch minnow.
Yeah, the later in the season, the bigger the bait. There's no doubt about it. And I think, I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you said you got to slow everything down. The fish, you know, they're eating bigger meals, I think, maybe not as much. So you throw a big sucker down there and you just let it sit and they will grab it and eat it. But if you could throw, you know, a smaller sucker or a jig or something or a faster presentation all day long and they won't touch it, you know.
Well, Mike, very interesting talk here on fall fishing. If anybody wants to get a hold of you for guiding, and you've got a few other guides you work with too, so how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I run Grand Pines Resort on Round Lake. I do have some openings, so you can either call. The best way to get a hold of me is just call my cell phone or text me direct. A lot of times I won't pick up because I'm out guiding on the lake. But you can call my cell at 715-558-4014, and I can set you up with lodging and fishing all the way until, you know, the 1st of November.
And you've also got a web page there, too, that's pretty visible out there on the web.
Yeah, you can also find me at MikeBestGuiding.com or GrahamPines.com.
Mike, been a pleasure having you on the air here, and I'm sure that it's been a lot of good information there for a lot of our listeners out there.
Okay, thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. From there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week.
And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.